A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 24 to 43. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches.' He told them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour, till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is close at hand, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Mark Junkin, Zion Lutheran Church, Vassar, Kansas.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Marrying a woman for life? What sort of hogwash is that old book passing off as commandments? Ask any knowledgeable evolutionary biologist. The body's imperative is to breed, not to hold on to some superstitious tripe about sexual purity. And if you're going to live with another person for any length of time, you better test the situation out first, or you're just looking for a quick and messy divorce. Not that modern marriages end any other way. If you are like me, you are tired of the way much of society responds to a moral Christian lifestyle, as if it's foolishness and beneath contempt. Christians are branded as superstitious doofuses who try to live in a fantasy land. Might our lives be better if we gathered together a group of pious Christians and founded a colony of believers apart from the naysayers of this nation? We could be a light on a hill, a country apart. Wouldn't that be good? In our text today, Jesus uses 3 parables to tell his disciples why believers and unbelievers live together. God would that all men be saved, and in his plan of salvation, he is willing to suffer a period of sin in order that he might save the greatest number of sinners. Furthermore, God has sinner and saved saint live together, so that the life of the saint might lead the unbelievers to know his Savior and to himself become a saint. Or to say that concisely, saints live with sinners, so sinners become saints. Actually, that's rather good news for me. You see, in sin, my mother conceived me. That isn't speaking about my saintly mom being a sinner, though she is. But it does mean I was born a sinner. I'd have had a short and awful end to my life if I couldn't associate with saints. But God placed that little sinner, me, among saints. And they baptized me and raised me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They taught me about Jesus. And I, by Christ's death and resurrection, was given new life as a saint. Probably you are listening to this message because you are a saint saved by Christ. And yes, you hate the sin in this world, in the world around you. But the sinner spouting off worldly foolishness is a child of God, needing a Savior, and they need to hear the wisdom of God. Thank the Lord that He put us near sinners who are in need of a Savior. Thank the Lord that He motivates us with a great hatred of sin so that we share the message of Jesus, so that we love our neighbors, so that we point out their sins but also point out their salvation. Going off and founding a holy colony of the righteous might sound like a good idea, but it isn't the right response to sin. Proclamation of Christ, both in our lives and in our words, is. May the Holy Spirit guide and bless your proclamation today. Amen.
We thank Pastor Mark Junkin for today's meditation on God's Word.